The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. He is not here. He is risen. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he has told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were sore afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lent, my brothers and sisters, is a time of fasting. It has been our purpose, our desire, these last 40 days, to bring our bodies into submission, which is a hard thing to do, and Lent shows us just that, to beat back those unholy passions that plague us and that exist inside of us, and to train our bodies to the fact that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of our God, Jesus Christ. Because if you're fasting, if your prayer, if your disciplines of Lent don't draw you closer to God, then guess what? You're doing something wrong, right? You're doing Lent wrong. And so what we do in these 40 days, we intensify our struggle against the flesh, against the devil and against sin, and we progress towards our Savior, Jesus Christ. No one ever got stronger. The devil was never overcome by doing what the body wants. Successful armies, successful athletes are those who know one thing: discipline. Discipline. Self-control. But in this discipline of our bodies, what have we seen? Have we not seen how weak we truly are? Have we not seen how much we truly need the Savior? How weak we are to fulfill all of the law and to do it Because if the law were expected of us, we would surely die. We would surely die. So if you are a glutton, if that's what plagues you, what do? You fast. If you are greedy, what do? You give alms. Sloth, you pray. This is the point of Lent. Right? It always shows us how desperately we need our Savior. Lent always points us directly to Him. But now, my brothers and sisters, Lent is over. Thanks be to God. And the feast of the resurrection, the dawn from on high, has broken upon us. And Easter is a time of feasting. Feasting because Jesus lives. Death is done. Death is finished. It is dead. It's almost as if even the weather this year points us to this fact, right? Good Friday, Holy Saturday, were what? Cold and stormy and rainy. And Easter Sunday is the dawning of a new day. Death's power over us is a fading, distant memory. And we stand with St. Paul, our brother, and behold death's pitiful condition as he lies wailing on the ground. And we say with him, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Where is it? Because they have been swallowed up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has been vindicated by his Father, now our Father. Sin is forgiven, creation is remade in the image of the Son, the Word of God incarnate, and all of the rules are broken now. Death is dead, and a dead man lives. Doesn't matter if you have kept the fast that I was describing earlier or not. Doesn't matter what awful sins you have committed in the past. Does not matter how faithful or faithless you have been. Jesus Christ lives. And now is the time to come to him and to feast. Jesus lives. Let no one hang their head any longer. The sorrow of your sin shall not plague you. Death is dead. Our sins are dead. They have no ultimate power over us anymore. Not when we are in the crucified one. Even God, for the sake of his Son, is pleased with us. Now think about that. Think about who you are. You know yourself better than everybody else. Right, you know the mask that you put on, the facade that you put on when you go out. God is even pleased with us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the body, once our enemy, is redeemed and restored. Its joys cleansed and sanctified. Satan and all of the demons are overcome and crushed under the foot of Jesus, the crucified Lord. They are no longer master over us. Not anymore. Not since the day of the resurrection. And now, sons and daughters of God, there is a kingdom where grace abides. A kingdom where grace reigns. Right? Not your works, not your deeds, not all of those things that you secretly want all other people to see you do, or those things that you think that you have to do in order to please God and satisfy him. Grace and mercy rule in the kingdom of the crucified one. And this kingdom has not come to the strong. It has come to the weak. This kingdom has not come to the healthy, but to the sick, not to the saints, but to the sinners.
Through him we are more than conquerors, and his victory makes us to stand victorious right next to Jesus. That is what the resurrection does. The Son of God lives not because of our sadness, right? It's not like our sorrow pulled him out of the grave, but he lives for his perfect love of us. For God would have his own again. He has seized us away from Satan as though we were the pearl of his greatest price. Because don't you know that that is God's justice? That is God's righteousness. That's the way that God, because of his Son, operates concerning you. Those who don't deserve life come through the hell of Holy Week, who even cry out for the blood of God to be on them and their children. Those same sinners, praise be to God, get exactly what they pray for, because they receive the very lifeblood of the Son of God that covers all of their sins. Because, my brethren, the life is in the blood. Those who have worked for themselves only death through the mystery of holy baptism and faith are even joined to Jesus Christ and his resurrection forever and ever. Because Jesus lives, the rules are broken. Now camels go through the eyes of needles. Rich men go to heaven. Abundantly rich men go to heaven. And sinners like me are made holy. And they are now summoned to stand in the presence of God in paradise once again and forever. Jesus lives, and we feast on his forgiveness and his grace today. Our cups are filled to the brim, and indeed they overflow, for he forgives more sin than we could ever commit. He's made our cemeteries into bedrooms and gardens and holy ground, because these are the places that our resurrected bodies will rise up at the last day, at the last trumpet blast. Because you see, heaven is not some sort of ethereal existence, not some sort of ghostly, shadowy existence. Heaven is lived in the body. The body that Jesus purchased and won and claimed as his own forever. And in this kingdom, there are no prerequisites, there are no charges, no hidden fees, no background checks, and no pedigrees needed, thanks be to God. Pre-existing conditions have no effect on the coverage that you get in the blood of Jesus Christ that has been poured out for you. Because even while we were yet still sinners, the Son of God took on our flesh and died for us. And the Father has vindicated him in the resurrection. Today we have been brought out of the great bondage, a bondage much greater than that which we faced in Exodus. Today we are led out through the gates of hell on dry ground. Today the seal of the grave is broken by Jesus Christ. The dawn of a new creation, God's new creation, breaks forth after the long dark night. And all the sons and daughters of Adam, you, every one of you, are brothers and sisters again. Brothers and sisters united in the Son of God, Jesus. The curse of battle is now ended. And we exchange Christ's sign of peace, and all debts are forgiven, all failures forgotten. This Sunday of the resurrection, the holy angels of God rejoice. They rejoice like mothers watching their babes take their first steps. And you and I, who have wrought only darkness, Even we, the newborn of heaven, who have ridden the water and the blood in the holy ark of the church, have come to the temple made without hands. Even the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. We have come to the cornerstone, once rejected, once cast outside of the city, but now risen and radiant, holy and perfect and alive, even our bridegroom and friend Jesus. Today is the day of our heart's greatest repose and joy. The Lamb of God was slain, and yet he lives. Death is dead, life himself lives. And he lives, my brothers and sisters, for you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Our Redeemer has stood upon the earth. Let the feast begin. In Jesus' name.